Hey, this is Pearls on Swine. I'm Levi. Next to me is Nathaniel Lynn Marsh, and Travis Williams is across from me. Today, we are going to be probably getting ourselves in a little trouble as we talk about what the scriptures actually say about are men and women equal in God's eyes.
Getting in trouble has never stopped us before, so.
This is true. What do you think it says? What if someone said to you, hey, men and women are equal in God's eyes? What would you say to that?
Yes.
Good one, Nate.
That was helpful, Nate. I mean,
it goes back to Genesis, and I agree. I would also say yes. But it goes back to Genesis when men and women were created. They were created in the image and likeness of God. And I think in God's eyes, there is equality there. But there are differences, gender differences. There's a lot of things that women can do better than guys, and guys can do better or differently than women.
I think that men and women are equally sinners, equally in need of God's grace and salvation. Redemption goes to men and women equally. They're forgiven of their sins equally before God. They're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. They're equally invited before the throne of grace, and they're equally heirs of God.
Yeah, and there's only one way to God. And so whether you're a man or a woman, you have to take that same path.
What path is that?
Jesus.
Good job.
Go to Jesus.
Pass the test.
Yay. And yeah, I mean, there's no other way. And so we're equal before God in that we all have to come to him through Jesus, and we all have to have our sins forgiven, like Levi said.
I think one of the interesting points to call out is that scripture also doesn't say that men and women are unequal, or that women are unequal to men at all in the Bible. They have different roles. They have different God-given tasks and things to do within a family structure, and those are things that the Bible calls out.
It's weird, though, that God, he could have chosen just to make humans singular in form.
Unisex.
Yeah, but he chose to have men and women, different kinds of human beings, and I think that it affects our whole being. It affects our whole lives. My wife is different than I am in lots of ways, but has it affected her whole life that she is a woman? And in the same way, it's affected my whole life that I'm a man created in God's image. It doesn't change the equality that we have before the throne of grace, but it does change how we go about things, how we do things in this world. If you look at the account in Genesis, there are multiple things that God kind of compares and contrasts. You have the heavens and the earth. They're complementary to each other, but they're different than each other. And I think the same goes true for men and women. They're complementary toward each other, but they're different than each other. I think if you take that away and say everything is just human and everything is the same, you actually miss out on the profound mystery of the gospel. Paul talks about the mystery of it and the mystery of how is Christ and the church related. That connection point to those things is what he's talking about. Is it Galatians 5 maybe, or Ephesians 5? Ephesians 5. He talks about this, and he's walking through this whole idea of marriage. He's walking through this idea, but really the picture of the gospel, that Christ is the head of the church, and yet the church is this unique unit that is connected to him as the body of Christ.
Yeah, and one of the things we have to keep in mind, the differences between men and women are, there's not a lot. We're both human beings. We have a lot of things in common. But if you were to compare generally men with generally women, then you start to see some differences. But yeah, in scripture doesn't really highlight those differences that much. You know, whether you're a man, whether you're a woman, the entire Bible is for you. If you're a woman, you don't have to look what happens to the things for women. The whole Bible is for you. If you're a man, you don't ignore what God did through Esther. That message is for you too.
Well, Peter talks about husbands and wives, and husbands, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. What do you think that means?
Yeah, one of the distinctions between men and women is generally men are physically stronger than women. Generally, men have more muscle mass, larger body frames, and so we can move more mass, I guess, than typically women. Now, obviously, there are some women who are much stronger than some men. That's just how it is.
Is that a confession?
I don't know too many women that are stronger than me, but yeah.
Remember when Natalie was your boss?
That was not the case.
That's how I remember it.
We worked at the same company. And yeah, I was a contract worker and she was the...
Your boss.
A secretary. And so oftentimes I would help her with projects. But yeah, she liked to say she was my boss. But yeah. Either way, why did we get on that topic?
I don't know. It just was
it
fun.
It just works.
It just works.
It just flows.
It flows. Yep.
But I think that's a good verse to point out because there are myths about how some of this stuff works in the Bible. And we think of equality as sameness, and it's not. And the Bible points that out. And we need, as dads, we need our wives to raise our kids. We are not the gentler, mostly typically kinder, patient partner in that parenting relationship where I'm very much different in that role as a dad than my wife as a mom. Yeah. And that's good for my kids. My boys and my daughter need to see that. And God put that into play for a reason, to develop our kids and develop them to understand the full context of who he is as God.
Yeah, we tend to be more like rule-based, justice-based. You broke the law, you get punished. Mm-hmm. That's how it is. Get
Not a lot of son. Sympathy.
Yeah. Where moms can come alongside and nurture and care. And once again, not always. That's
right.
Not and always the case for people.
I think one of the arguments, though, that you hear from people about this idea throughout Scripture is that it's patriarchal, it's hierarchical, and guys are called to a different role in that. God says mm-hmm. that men are to be the head of their household. But Levi, like you talked about the passage out of 1 Peter, we're to do that humble, with respect for our wives, and be gentle because of them being a weaker sex.
Well, yeah, we carry it physically in nature, but it also tells us that we're to respect our wives,
mm-hmm.
or they're to respect us. And then on the flip side, it says that we're to love them and be like Christ, which is the harder role. It's to be like Christ and give up your life. One is just a respect thing. The other is to lay your life down. It's, I think, a more difficult task, but it's also a lesser task. It's a submission task
mm-hmm.
to lay your life down for the good of the other.
Yeah. And submission is always hard. Whenever we have disagreements with people, it's hard to say, you know what, you get to make that call and I will follow you in that. But yeah, what Jesus did for us as a church, that he gave up himself for us, he died and took on all of our punishment. He's the one that made us clean and made us holy. And so as men who have wives, and once again, I mean, that's in the confines of marriage. It's not like all women must
right.
follow all men. Like, there's a lot of these different rumors or failed
folklore
interception
or craziness or
interpretations of Scripture. Yeah. And husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. That is a huge, huge role. And it is something that, honestly, ladies, wives, husbands probably will never get there. It's something, it's such a high goal, a high role that has been placed before us. Husbands need the support and the love and the prayers of their wives in order to achieve that.
Yeah, part of the age-old battle of the sexes, if you will, is really described actually in the Scriptures. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17 talks about it. And part of the fall was... there was punishment that came after it. And part of that punishment was that there would be this new dynamic that would emerge. Prior to that, it was harmonious. Man and woman living together, living the dream, naming the animals, petting the sheep, running around, collecting food, and all of those other things that, you know, they were just enjoyed being with each other. And yet God predicts something in that passage. And in verse 16, it says, "You will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you." That's always the battle, isn't it? It's always the tension. They try to control us. House. And yeah, it's really a dynamic that was emerging out of the sinful nature. And yet there's no indication or no hint of inferiority or inequality even in that statement.
Yeah. Well, even in that first, you know, interaction that failed between Adam and Eve, Adam's taking on this passive role and allowing Eve to put herself out there to interact with this serpent character, to be tempted, to be persuaded by him. And Adam's just standing there, not like interrupting, not saying, hey, whoa, whoa, what's going on here? This is not how it should be. Not interceding to protect her. Mm-hmm. He just kind of laying back and watching and allowing her to possibly take on the consequence. And it seems like it's only after he sees nothing happens to her that he chooses to follow suit. And so I think that characterizes a lot of relationships where sometimes the man doesn't step up to his role and doesn't say, hey, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to lead in this. I want to love you as Christ loves the church. I'm going to make the sacrifice and I'm going to do what it takes in order to be this person who cares and who will take that burden of the uncertainty of what could happen. And so because we don't step up sometimes as men, our wives are like, well, you're not doing anything. So I need to take over here.
And I think that comes into that higher standard that we are to be upheld to as husbands with our wives. It may not be super directly applicable, but 1 Timothy 5:8 is that verse that talks about if anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially for his members of his own household, he's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And that means physically, financially, spiritually, emotionally. I think that means all of those things. And that's a significant task and role to have to undertake. And by the grace of God, we're called to that and be able through the grace of God to do that as well. That's a mighty hefty task to take on. And I think, Levi, you pointed it out perfectly. We live in a fallen, broken world. And it was like that from the beginning when sin entered the picture in the garden. It's still fallen. It's still broken. And it's still difficult now. It doesn't change anything. Till Jesus comes back, we're in this position of brokenness.
Yeah, I think part of what people get tripped up on in the whole men-women thing, should women be pastors? Should women have authority over men? The scriptures are clear on it. No, they shouldn't have authority in spiritual matters over men because of what happened in the garden. God is calling men up. He's not.
And out.
and he's not calling women down in that.
Right.
And I think that's part of the misconception. One of the things, like, there's lots of things that men can't do that women can. I will never carry a child. I will never have a life growing inside of me. And yet that's part of the blessing of God to them, is that they do get to experience that portion of it. And so oftentimes we focus on what the other person's role is in God's creation, or the other sex's role in God's creation, and not the limitations that they have, but there's limitations on us in that and the roles that have been given for men and women.
And I like that you pointed that out, because it's a spiritual authority that we're called to. It's a responsibility that we're given, but it's not a superiority over them. It's a caring thing. It's a loving thing. It's a compassionate thing. It's that exact calling up. It's living to a higher standard. And we'll have to give account to God for that, how we did that with our spouses, our wives, our families. And there's a big burden of responsibility in that. It's kind of weighty.
Yeah. And there's this sociological principle that as men lead, so go the culture. When men abdicate that role, it is not good.
No, you can see the statistics on that.
Yeah, when men are not a part of their families, it's not good.
Nope.
The family suffers in such tremendous ways. When men fail to lead in good and healthy ways and showing direction for morality and what's right and true, the whole culture suffers. But at the same time, that doesn't mean there's specific jobs that we're supposed to do, like women have to clean. No. Like men have to do working on the car or fixing the car, stuff like that. The Bible never talks about that stuff.
Or even that women's only role and responsibility is to stay home with the kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are women that can go out to work and men who can stay at home, and that's fine too. I don't think the scriptures actually, that's I think a family choice in mm-hmm. in those things. I think when it comes to spiritual matters, though, one of the things that we do is that if you go to many churches, like the women seem more spiritual than the men. Mm-hmm. And some of it is God's like, boys, suck it up and get out there and worship me and me alone. What the heck is wrong with you? And he's calling us up out of this, and he's not pushing women down. And that is part of the thing that frustrates me on maybe on both sides. One is on the side of the kind of egalitarian, like everything is equal. Well, everything is equal spiritually in one sense, but it's not, the roles aren't the same. And they complement each other. And it works when men are being focused on who God is, and they're being called up to where they're supposed to be. And women are too. And the family unit works when God is the center of the family rather than just one of the spouses.
Yeah, exactly how it was designed to work. And when it's designed that way and you work it out that way, it works really, really well.
Yeah. So the scriptures, I think, are fairly clear on that men and women are different in one sense. And God has created them differently. And yet they're equal. That is the beauty of the scripture, is it actually speaks into our human condition. The battle of the sexes is there, and we recognize that. Men, you're called to lead your family spiritually, and women, you're to respect and be a helpmate. You're not weak in the sense of your fervor for God. It's really talking about your physicality, for the most part, is less than men. But men, you're called up. Women, you're called up also to be in that role and to do what God has called you to do and be.
Yeah, I think one of the really great pictures that scripture gives between men and women is also this idea of the Godhead itself, that the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit are equal. They're one. And yet they have different roles. They're different persons. And the Son submits to the Father, and the Spirit submits to the Son and the Father. And so there's this beautiful picture within God's being himself that displays this. Now, is Jesus less than the Father? No, not at all.
Right. He's not greater than either.
No, he's not. They are one. And so that's always a good picture to go back to the being of who our God is, to remember these things. And I think there's also something to be said to guys in that. Like, are you treating your wife like she's equal? Because she is.
Equal and precious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a gift from God.
And just Genesis because you talks have about a role, that too, that yeah. the man and the woman come together and the two shall become one flesh.
Yep. And just because you might have a role where you take on leadership in certain areas doesn't make you better, doesn't make you greater, doesn't mean you can have whatever you want.
Well, it's a common goal. That's the thing. It's what works, and men and women should work together, each fulfilling their prospective roles that God has given them, in order that they may glorify God, that they may be in harmony with each other, that they may be connected to each other. You know, we probably could talk about this for a long time.
A little while.
We probably should have brought a couple of women with us, too, also to chat with us on this. But this is a Pearls and Swine episode. If you want to hear more content like this, you can get it at evangelup.org. Sunday messages are there, and Pearls and Swine episodes are published weekly. And so just go to our website, and you can grab those things. If you have any questions, Travis@evangelup.org. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.